You are now immersed in the Superfans Soccer Cast with your hosts, Maddie Savage and Mike Apex. It's about to get lit.
Welcome in, super fans. We welcome you in on this Friday the 13th episode. And it might get just a little bit creepy. It might get a little bit bloody. Might be a little red cards thrown. We never know. All right, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to let the cat out the bag. This is Maddie Savage, and we definitely going to be throwing some red cards, some bloody red cards. Now, I've got my guy on my side. Mike Apex. Yes. How you doing, Mike?
It is I, Mike Apex. What's up, broski? Yeah, super fans. We're gonna have the machete, the chainsaw, the guillotine, the hook, whatever you, the meat hook, whatever you want today, because it's gonna be a savage, Maddie, bloody red card Friday 13th. It's been so much, you know, Maddie. You mentioned earlier we were talking. You were like, man, I don't know, Mike. It's just, I don't want to seem like we're piling on. I'm like, bro, super fans want to hear what we got to say. They want to hear, you know, our opinion on this because this is a hot button topic and it's personal for us, right?
It is. I'm just thinking, I'm going to add to my little intro here. So the bloodbath already happened. The bloodbath happened, what day was that? Wednesday, right? Because I forgot, yes. I got mixed up on the day that the game was going to be. And for those of you guys that don't know, don't follow, the U.S. national team, the national soccer team, played a match, friendly match versus Switzerland on Wednesday. As I just mentioned, I got twisted up on the dates. I thought it was going to be, was it Tuesday or Wednesday? Like, I'm still mixed up on the dates.
That's how bad the loss was, but just don't dive yet. Hold on, Maddie, don't dive.
I'm setting them up so they know what we're kind of talking about. I'm feeling. Yeah. Some people might not know what we're talking about. They're like, "What in the world?"
Oh, okay.
But yeah. I'm just gonna give a little tidbit because we're gonna really dive into that later on. Yes. But the little tidbit is, Switzerland came to play. U.S. didn't come to play. At least not in that first half. That first half was a bloody mess. It was a bloodshed. And tying into the Friday the 13th, it was bad. I mean, when you go down 4-0 at halftime, man, it was bad. But you text me and was calling me and everything else, and I was like, yo, man, I'm in bed. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm going to have to get the gloves for that one. I'm going to have to put the gloves on because I don't want to get too much blood on my hands on that. But yeah, super fans, Maddie's pretty much, you know, he's giving you the appetizer right now. But, we're going to definitely dive into that and give you the full rundown on that situation. It was just I was very upset. But we'll get into it.
All right, well, we'll save that for the meat of the episode. Let's start off with our first little entree here. We got debuting tomorrow. We have the Club World Cup, and it's shaking out to be an interesting affair. Of course, the opening game is Inter Miami versus Al Ahly. I know I'm probably butchered that, right? But they got the first game, and this is going to be quite the interesting tournament. What do you say, Mike? You think it's going to be good, bad, sideways, in between? We've already done ripped them a new one for how they've been doing these. MLS anyways, ripped them a new one for how they've been distributing out these pays. But what's your assessment for this tournament? How's it going to go? How's it going to shake out?
Oh, man, I think it's going to be pretty, for us super fans, it's going to be pretty exciting. I think we got 32 of the best in the world, right? So the competition is going to be there. We're going to crunch some numbers, too, because Maddie, he started diving deep and he saw again, a money thing, guys. But as far as the play on the field, it's going to be great. I think they play tomorrow night, like Maddie says, Inter Miami. It's going to be, I think it's at Hard Rock Cafe Stadium or whatever. So I think it's like 8 o'clock tomorrow night. So I'll be tuning in on that. But it's going to be, I think it's going to be excellent as far as the play. I did read an article where Seattle, shout out to those guys again, they said they're here to compete. Yeah, it's going to be, we're going to see what we got, man. It's in our backyard. So let's see if we can, what is it, LAFC plays Chelsea on Sunday, I think it is.
Yeah, that match.
On Monday. Maybe Monday.
That match is very interesting. I'm very curious to see how that one's going to go. See how one of our better MLS sides can, you know, weigh up against, you know, the PSG Seattle game is going to be good too. Don't get me wrong.
Heck yeah, that's my other team.
Yeah, like, that was gonna be interesting to watch. I'm just curious: does PSG go full out in game one, or do they kind of, you know, play some reserves? You know, they just come off the UEFA.
With a
win
first time, yeah,
right. Mm-hmm. So, do they run it back? Do they stay with with what they got, or do they kind of play reserved? Maybe try to ease into it, or do they just go for the gusto, as you like to say? That's an interesting kind of look at it. I'm wanting to see what the teams are going to do strategy wise, especially early on.
Because yes,
the MLS sides are going to have – we've gone into the reasons why, financially and otherwise, that we're kind of limited with what we have. You know, what we have is what we have. We don't have 20-man roster where you got 11 designated players and, you know, five other guys that could go somewhere else and be starters and something. You know, what we have is what we have. So we're definitely going to have to throw everything out there every game. That's just the way it is. So we're kind of behind the eight ball. But some of these teams, like PSG that spend money, like Chelsea that spend money, they have depth in insane amounts. So they can play reserve players. They can play academy players and this and that, kind of ease into it and still have firepower in spades. It's just an embarrassment of riches for some of these teams, and that's going to be an interesting sort of look. See how they do it.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you're right; it comes down to resources. These teams, I mean, they're some of the most out of any sport, right? Any professional sports, they're some of the wealthiest teams in the world, like most valuable teams in the world. You're talking about these guys, and I'm looking at this as a litmus test, right? This is, like you said, Maddie, this will give us a good measuring stick, like as far as where do we stand? Like, where are we when you're comparing us to the world scope of things? And if we go out and play hard and shock some teams, you know, we're playing for respect right now. Like I said, we're in our backyard. We're on home turf right now. So super fans, definitely support, come out, support, show your love for our teams or whatever, because it ain't going to be easy, but it's going to be very exciting. Again, and I was just on my mind, Maddie, because I kind of want you to go over the with the money, how it's distributed or improperly distributed.
You want me to break that down again?
Yeah, if we could go over that just for the fans. I'm trying to let me pull that up. Yeah, let's go over that real quick.
All right. So before we started recording, I was just looking over the Club World Cup, kind of get some information and everything. And we're looking at let me say it right. So they have participation money. So just for being in the tournament, they were allotted so much for the teams and everything. And you got this is on Wikipedia. So the European teams got between 12.8 to upwards of 38.19 million. They said it's determined by a ranking system based on certain metrics. So some of the team, A team, got 38 0.19 million, and then the lower end of the spectrum for European teams got 12.8 million. Then you have the South American teams got 15.21 million. North Central America and Caribbean teams, which is our MLS guys and others, but they got 9.55 million. Asia got 9.55 million. Africa got 9.55 million. In Oceania, which really is only Australia because I think they only have just the one team, Auckland City, and they get 3.58 million. And what I was saying is, why would you have it to where some clubs are getting, you know, a lot of the pie just for being in the tournament, and then others are getting a smaller cut of that? Why not just, all right, it's 525 million. And cut it 32 ways for just being in the tournament. And that way you got the teams. I'm looking at Oceania. I mean, they can go from making 3.58 to, I think I told you it was like 16.5 million. That's a big little jump for just for being in it. Because I don't expect Auckland City, because that's the team, the Oceania, that's in Australia. I don't expect them to go out and do very much. They might shock, you know, team that they play. Let me see if I can see it. It's on here because they had group stage and the schedules and everything else. Let's see who they play. Let's see here. Auckland City. They play. Oh, they play Bayern Munich first. So again, you see what I'm saying? You see what I mean?
Yeah,
they got it tough off the rip. They might not even. They're in. Again, no disrespect, guys. This is just facts. They're in Group C. Their group is Bayern Munich, Boca Juniors, and Benfica. Right. Do you see Auckland City making it out?
No.
See what I'm saying? Like, this is what I'm getting at.
Lucky to be in it. I don't want to talk. I hope they prove me wrong, Oceania, Auckland City. But, yeah, they'd be lucky to, you know, win a game, to be honest with you.
So, again, having it a more fair distribution makes it better for them, but that's neither here nor there. The rich get richer, but we talked about money the last three episodes. I don't want to talk about it no more.
But let me just say this one thing. The reason why I mention it, like I said, it's all about the Benjamins, baby, because, all right, that's the participation pillar, right? And then if you notice right above it, they have the sporting performance pillar, which is $475 million. So, group stage. Now, this seems fair to me. Group stage, you can get $2 million per win, right? $1 million for a draw. Okay, fine. Round of 16, what is that? $7.5 million. That ain't bad. Quarterfinal, $13.125 million. That's pretty good. And then semifinal, what is that? $21 million. Finalist, $30 million. And then the winner, $40 million. Now, guys, taking all of that into perspective, right? Just think about this. We spoke about it last week. Like Maddie said, I'm going to get off of this money too. But after all of that, all of the money that these teams can make, let's say LAFC or Seattle, Inter Miami went all the way. All that money they're getting, the players are only getting 1% of that, guys. That's it. Think about it. You know what I'm saying? That's where it's not fair. And then on top of that, you know...
Okay, Mike. Okay, we get it. We're going to episode again. We're going backwards in time. We need to go forward.
No, I was just going to say they want you to volunteer because I would have been working that match. Oh,
you still on about that?
Chelsea and LAFC. Yeah, I'm still salty a little bit because they wanted me to volunteer for free and work security. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
At Mercedes-Benz Stadium, you want me to work for free? Come on, guys. Really? I mean, so that's just it when you look at this. But, yeah, but I just hope our guys are motivated to go out there. Like you said, Maddie, play hard. This will be a great litmus test for us. I'm going to be watching and recording the games. And I think they're going to be streamed on...
you said DAZN. DAZN TNT.
TNT Sports, yep. DAZN. And they're free, guys. DAZN. So download the DAZN app. And definitely...
I doubt DAZN's free. I bet you got to pay. They can say all they want, but I almost guarantee you, you're going to download that app. You're going to download it thinking you're going to watch something for free, and they're going to get you. I'm telling you.
Yeah, you might be right on that, Maddie. But
they might let you watch one for free. Then that second one, they're gonna get you.
This is true. And let me see. Who would you say? We can go over real quick. Some of the favorites. You mentioned
PSG, Paris Saint Germain.
PSG for sure. Bayern Munich. And what's the team out of Argentina? Well, it's kind of crazy because our boys isn't going to be playing. Messi isn't going to be playing on the Argentinian team, but
Boca Juniors is the Argentinian side.
Okay. Yeah, I know they're pretty good also. Manchester City's in there also, right? It's a bunch. Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. Atletico Madrid. Man, I can't. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I can't wait. And what's the team out of Brazil?
Fluminense. And Flamingo. Flamingo and Fluminense.
Mm-hmm. Oh, both of them? Okay. Yeah, man. So, yeah, I'm just trying to see. Oof. I don't know if there's any sports bet. I guarantee it's maybe on FanDuel or whatever. You can bet on some of these if you guys are into the sports betting.
you were saying, you know, who do you think could be, you know, like, probably a favorite? I could see PSG since they, you know, like I said, they just come out from the Champions League.
Is Mbappe playing with them or no?
Come on, man. Red card. Red card.
You know I'm playing. You know I'm playing because, look, I'm joking.
I'll never know with you.
I got to keep you on your toes because he just played. Here's the thing. He just played with them last week during the – they came in – they came in third place – he played with France. Damn, what were they playing last week, man?
Yeah, that's right. Because they lost.
Yeah, he was on the team with him. That's why I was saying that. Yeah, and then they did get pretty good. He was on top of his game.
Say, talking about he played for PSG. You know that man's playing for Real.
I know he's over there. He misses. He can say what he wants. He still misses his homies, but he's getting that money over there. So I ain't mad at him. But it's definitely going to be exciting, action-packed. And Maddie and I are definitely keeping you guys updated, you know, in the next – it's going on for a whole month. So, man, it's a great time to be a super fan, you know, and enjoy these great matches here.
Well, I'm going to throw my little two cents out there. You talked about – and I say that to kind of, you know, as a pun. So – we're talking money and this, that, and the third. This is my last little bit on there. My concern that I have with the MLS sides in this, mainly for a guy by the name of Denny Bouanga, I feel that if they go out, if he goes out, or if any of these other guys from Seattle or Inter Miami, like the teams that they're playing against may have, you know, video and scouts and everything else on these guys.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to these teams, especially teams that have money, if the guy's in form, they'll throw the money out. And that's kind of – it's a concern of mine because we are dealing with – I just mentioned these guys, they have seemingly unlimited amounts of money, and they have – they try to hoard talent. And that worries me that they could see somebody dip. Maybe they torture them or they do really well or they do this or that, right? And they're like, hey, you know, when it comes around, maybe not, you know, this summer, obviously, because we're basically in it. But the next available opportunity, they're going to say, hey, remember that guy? We had him on our radar and, you know, we can see him in a live event put out there against a good defense or put out there, you know, these situations, live competition, essentially. And that could... you'd be surprised. It's guys that you wouldn't have seen going to different leagues or different teams, possibly making moves going forward. I mean, I wish the best for these players. I want the best for them. I want them to go play and exceed and all that stuff, right? But I also want to keep them in MLS as well, too. So it's kind of it's a double-edged sword that could possibly cut. And we'll see how that's my only bad quote bad prediction about this tournament.
No, great, excellent point, Maddie. I think these guys are kind of auditioning, right? They're playing against these guys, and you know, big bank take little bank. you know, some of these big Premier League and stuff like that see these guys, they're going to be like, hey, we need to sign them, you know, and they got endless amounts of resources. And, you know, hey, it's up to the MLS to step up, you know.
They know what they got to do.
Well, that's a good segue into our next little segment. Speaking of owners and money and everything else, one of Inter Miami's part owners, his name is Jorge Mas. He made a comment that was picked up by ESPN that he strongly believes that the next MLS season will be on the European schedule of things. I don't know where he's getting this feeling from, but what say you? Should the super fans, quote, fully expect the NMLS calendar change, or is Jorge Mas just, you know, on some good Miami powder down there?
Yeah, those pink flamingos in Miami, huh? They they'll make you react a certain way, right? Pertaining to the owner down there, co-owner. I think his reasoning is that if we change, like, I'm just saying this side. This is his mindset, right? If we change our schedule to, like, more of an international, align with them, and then we'll be able to have the advantages of being able to participate in more transfer, like, you know, as far as getting players and stuff, right? International players and such.
Right.
I think that's what he's probably looking at, right? Because we'll be aligned with them. However, this is USAA, right? This is the USA, guy. And we have football that's a religion over here that's played on Sundays.
And Saturday.
And Saturdays. Fridays. And Fridays. Thank you, Maddie. High school, college, and NFL, okay? And about to be flag football, okay? So here's the problem. These guys, he's an international guy, of course. He's from overseas. So his mindset is international. And, you know, I don't mean to be rude or whatever, but, dude, if you want to be aligned with those guys, then how about going over there? Go back over there and, you know, get on their schedule over there. You're in America now. This is the perfect, in our opinion, Maddie and I talked about this a couple episodes, I think. And in our opinion, this is the best schedule for MLS. You got USL, you got NWSL, right? And now you want to try to compete with the NFL, even the NBA starts and NHL, right? During that time period. It's just not a good look. It's just not a good look. And I think it would be like shooting yourself in the foot. That if I would, you know, that's probably the term I would use. But yeah, Maddie, I get where he's thinking, but I think he's using the international mindset. My thing is this. Miami, you guys ain't even, what are you, fifth, sixth? I think we're like right behind Miami right now. You guys all right? You ain't even, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, go ahead, Maddie.
My little two cents on this is, so roughly a third of the teams in the MLS are northern teams. We're talking Vancouver. Mm-hmm. We're talking Toronto. We're talking Minnesota. Mm-hmm. We're talking New England. Who's another team? We got the two New York teams, Chicago. Mm-hmm. Probably some other ones that come to mind, Portland, mm-hmm. Seattle. Deal with bitter cold, and that's in March, February when the season starts. And then when the season ends, toward the end of the, you know, we're talking November, when the playoffs start, and if you go really far into December, and some of those places are cold.
Yes.
And I can recall that there was a big to-do about a Miami team playing in Kansas City is another one. Kansas City.
Yes. Right?
They played in that Kansas City game, and it was it was so cold, and it was, you know, with the wind chills and everything else, like, and would Messi play? Would he not play? Mm-hmm. And he ended up doing, you know, playing the game, and the player said it was just miserable, right? That was February. That's what everybody's talking about, you know, doing this as, like, right, you know. That was in the CONCACAF, which plays a little bit earlier than the MLS regular season does by a few weeks.
Right.
And, you know, that's the temperature you're dealing with. And you would be dealing with that on a way more frequent basis if you did the schedule change. And as I'm of that opinion that this is the schedule that we have is as good as it's going to get.
Yeah.
You could maybe tweak it around the edges a little bit, but if you go do wholesale changes, you're going to come against, I mean, a wall of difficulties. We've mentioned them with the other sports teams, but not even counting those other sports leagues, we're not even talking about the weather aspect of it. And that's a very big, you know, whoa, do not do this. Because can you imagine being a Minnesota United supporter, and whereas you go from it being cold when they start, like really cold, to over the summer it's not being too bad, and then in the fall it kind of gets a little colder again. So you might can go to some of your games, you might can, you know, go in your supporter section and not have to wear a heavy parka and all this other stuff, like, you know, and be miserable. Versus this international schedule that's proposed, and those stadiums will be, I'm not going to say they're going to be empty, because you're going to have those super fans, and Lord bless them, they go out there and will support their teams no matter what the temperature is. But man, for as a whole, there will be a lot of people to be like, I ain't going out there. It's negative 10. What do you mean? It's snowing like crazy. You're going to get going to have to bring out the neon orange soccer balls. I mean,
right.
And we just had LAFC complain about a snowball game.
Right.
And you're going to have all kinds of nonsense. So, no, I don't expect it. I think that Jorge Mas is, you know, on a little bit of something down there. And it ain't
expressive. He on that Flamingo.
He ain't on no espresso beans. Let me just say that.
Nah, he on that Flamingo down there. And I just, thank you, Maddie, for that. I appreciate that honesty right there. And you were very precise with that assessment. And I just want to make a statement here. This is for the commissioner, Don Garber. We have nothing but the ultimate respect for you. Love MLS. We love the direction, the trajectory that it's going. You know, soccer is starting to blow up over here as we see. Men and women, you know, it's really growing, and it's great to see. But please, please, Commissioner Garber, do a survey, ask the fans, get into social medias, get on Twitter, all of us with the app, ask the fans what they prefer, because that's who your customers are, okay? Mm-hmm. Ask the fans over here. A lot of these people, when it's football season, they're going to be watching American football, okay? You're going to lose a lot of fans, not going to be able to come to the games. And as far as scheduling, how are you going to, you're playing in a lot of the same stadiums. How are you going to play the games, right? That's just going to throw everything out of whack, dude. Like you said, Maddie, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, okay. I mean, yeah, man. And I know some... probably about, I don't know what percentage of the teams have their own stadium, but some of them are playing in, like, the football stadiums and such. But, again, it's just, you got to look at your demographic and listen to your customers, the consumers, right? That's who you're trying to keep happy. Not some of these guys that are coming from international, they're over here, and you guys are kind of acquiescing to what they want. You know what I'm saying? This is totally different. And we need to have our own style anyway. People want to be able to tune in this summer. All we have is baseball. We love baseball too, but you got baseball, you got MLS, right?
Right. That's right. Right now, that's the only thing that's going on. I mean, you got the NBA in the playoffs right now, but, you know, what, week and a half, that'll be done.
That's done, yeah.
Yeah, so right now, they through trial and error, through 30 seasons, they've finally got down to where, you know, this makes the most sense. And having them do about the same day, it works out good. Those Saturday night matches have been good. Because did you watch the game yesterday? There was like it was kind of a one-off that between Atlanta and New York. Did you you passed out?
I passed out because I had to get up.
No offense to Atlanta, but it wasn't that much of a game because
wow,
yeah, they had too many issues within a 5-minute, 10-minute stretch of the game where New York City just put it on them and they just couldn't get back in it. I mean, at one, like I said, they won 4-0. New York City did, but
they didn't score. Wow. They're a topsy-turvy team, man. 1 minute they're hot, next minute they're not. I mean, man.
Yeah. But it was a weird sort of game because it was just one-off game on Thursday night. They haven't had too many of those this year where, like I said, most of the games are on Saturday. They just introduced this season the Sunday night soccer. My only complaint with the Sunday night soccer is they'll have two games. Well, they'll have an earlier Sunday afternoon game and then the later Sunday night, like the primetime game or whatever. And my thinking on it is just do a singular one game. That way that's the only game. Because there's sometimes where you'll watch the first game and then, for me anyways, I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm good. Especially because the matches, some of them have been really good, and then some of them have been kind of like, eh. Like, they haven't been all bangers. You know what I mean?
Right.
Now, if that was the case, and we might get to that coming up, you know, into the future. Right. I hope so. Where it's just like, they pick and choose the like, okay, this week is going to be this one here. That's going to be the best one for this week. So let's put it on Sunday. Remains to be seen, but that's
I like what you're saying.
Yeah.
Just to add on to what you were saying there real quick. That's the beauty of the MLS, guys. Like, you never know. You don't know who it's very competitive, right? We know that it's like they'll hype up certain teams, right? But that don't mean that team, you still got to play the game. You got it, right? And we've seen that time and time and time again. If you look at the leaderboards in the Eastern and Western Conference, like, nobody thought, we knew Vancouver was decent, but how they're playing right now, come on, guys. I mean, and you hear the media talk, Miami is supposed to be the best team in the league, right? Not. So you don't know these matches. You have to watch them, and you know, that's great. But like Maddie says, as far as sometimes teams not showing up, you know, I don't like that either. You know, 4-0, Atlanta's better than that, you know.
They are. But you just reminded me of something, Mike. Something that I sent you this past week, and I got to get in on that, on a certain Miami coach. Okay. So, you're laughing because you know exactly what I'm about to say.
Yeah, go ahead.
I've gone in on this guy several times. I'm going to go in on him again because I said it in the Crystal Soccer Ball episode. I expect him to be fired. I'm almost guaranteeing this because when you hear him talk, some of the stuff he says, Mascherano, bro, what are you on? Like, what are you?
Wait. So this is a savage moment, guys. This is the first red card right here on Friday the 13th. Yes, he's getting the first one, but go ahead, Maddie.
Yeah, really. I mean, how many red cards are you going to get in a season? But so what started this conversation, right? The MLS teams that are in the Club World Cup, which we've talked about, it's Inter Miami, it's the Seattle Sounders, it's LAFC. Mm-hmm. They had a special window, like free agency window, they call it transfer window, where they could go out and improve the roster. Mm-hmm. And it just for them, and it was for like maybe a week. It wasn't very long at all. And I think that LAFC was the only team that did anything. They got a guy on loan. But anyways, back to Javier Mascherano. He made a comment and he said, which I share with you, and I laughed and I laughed and I laughed some more, where his assessment as the coach of Inter Miami is their biggest problem has been the attack. They have not been able to score like they need to. And he went on to say that they needed to go out and get an attacker and that the defense is fine, that they have the defense covered. And I laughed and I laughed and I laughed. And then I just said, and I told Mike, I said, yeah, this guy's getting fired. And then I went to send him three or four different pictures of games that Inter Miami lost by like three or four to, it would be like zip, right? Either three or four to zip or four to three. Like it was just like a, you know, all out goals game, not no defense at all. And this guy has the audacity to sit here and say like, nah, the defense is fine. It's like, all right. Okay. We shall see in this Club World Cup. I'm telling you right now, that defense is not going to be fine. And when Miami gets beat 7-1, 7-0, and Messi's putting the towel over his head going to the locker room, and you're going to hear it here first, it's going to say, Javier Mascherano sacked as Inter Miami head coach. Telling you.
Fact.
Yeah. Pun intended. Ball sacked, right? Because he's going to be kicked in the you-know-what. Look. I don't know if this dude was trying to be facetious or was he just being dyslexic? Because when he said that and you sent me, and just the pictures, like the pictures of him and how he was looking and he was squatting down and how he was like holding his chin, and it just had me, dude, almost passed out laughing. I was like, it was crazy, man. It was hysterical, right? I just couldn't believe it. And you sent it to me. I was like, wait a minute. Is he serious? Is he serious? Like, really? Everybody knows you guys' defense is your Achilles heel. You guys, your defense, I'm not saying it's trash, but that's your problem. Only thing you guys worry about is your offense. We know you have high power offense. We know you guys can score. We know that. But defensively, you guys aren't all that. I mean, what are you talking about, dude? And I don't know if he was doing that to protect certain people or I don't know. I really don't know. But as Maddie said, you're getting a red card. Okay, this is a special Friday 13th edition. Okay? Because you may be out of a job. You know what I'm saying? I hope not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope not. I'm just joking. Look, I hope not. I hope you guys do well or whatever. I don't wish anyone to lose their job. But for you even coming out of your face and saying that, it's crazy. It's crazy. Like, you got a hockey mask, a Jason Voorhees hockey mask on, talking crazy. I mean, come on, dude. So, nah, Maddie, you sent that to me. Remember, I was like, what? I was like, nah, is this AI? I mean, really? Oh, we don't have any problem with defense. We're fine over there. We need to get some. What? What do you think his reasoning was? Why would he say that? Because it's obviously a lie. I mean,
my only thing is maybe he was trying to light a fire under the offense with Messi and Suarez by saying, you know, hey, we hadn't scored enough goals, so we need some help. Maybe.
Okay.
That's the only thing I can think of. But, I mean, anybody who really pays attention, you don't even have to be a real super fan to see. You watch a couple of their games and you're just like, yeah, they're not very good defensively. Like, they're not great.
They're not.
And they don't play a style that will dominate you with the possession. They're not good. You've even made a comment about that, where if you watch them, they just give the ball away so easily, so freely, without even trying. Yeah. It's just like they can't hold on to the ball. And whenever – if you can't keep the ball, you're not playing very good defense – I mean, the chances that Messi does get, I mean, I guess it just shows his quality that, you know, when the ball does get his way and this and that, he's making it happen.
Mm-hmm.
If he's take him off this team, and man, they are very poor. I say that seriously. He's not on this team. We're not talking about doing any of this stuff that they're talking about doing.
Nah, no cap. You spitting facts. That's a fact right there. I mean, he's a leader. He's the engine. He's all of that. And Messi's a competitor. Let me just throw this in real quick. I don't know if we shouted out Beckham. Did we shout him out yet?
I think you did last episode.
Oh, okay.
About how he got Messi back on the right track.
Yeah, shout him out. I just want to shout him out again. Shout out to Beckham getting Messi. Now they got to get the rest of the guys, right, motivated defensively, okay?
Okay.
That's your guys' problem. So.
Right, yeah. Miami, get your defense right. All right, Mike, I got to move us along. We're already into our episode a good little bit. So we talked earlier, we teased it about the U.S. Men's National Team. And then you're talking about leaders got me thinking. That's the next topic, man.
Oh, man.
What's going on with your, I hate to say your, because it's our national team, but I know you rep them very big, very large. Support them financially. Go in all in for these guys, right?
Yes.
What we're both members. Is going on with the national team right now? Because there's reports that got players opting out to play in this Gold Cup, that only want to play in friendlies, want to pick and choose when they play, how they play. Then whenever, you know, the team gets embarrassed, they're posting vacation pics and all this other nonsense and getting grilled for it. Like, break it down, Mike. What's going on? Like, really, what's going on?
Where should we start, bro? I mean, it's like I said, pick your poison. Happy Friday the 13th. We're just machete, chainsaw, we're chopping them up tonight, right? We're chopping them up. Where should we start? Well, let's save the Captain America. We'll save him for last, all right? Right now, let's get on Pochettino. Let me say this. Maddie mentioned earlier, guys, I was calling him. I was texting him. I was voice messaging him. Because I was watching the match. I was, like, really hype. I had my popcorn, you know, sitting here. I'm like, yeah. I want to see what USA is going to do because it had been a lot of talk, right? Everybody was saying because we lost that last match and I'm expecting us to come out and really play. And they're playing in your home team.
Yeah, we're playing in Geodis. Yeah, I saw Geodis. That.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're playing in Geodis, right? And we love that stadium, one of the most beautiful. We love that. We love the crowd and everything. Bro, I love Nashville. I love Cashville. I love hot honey chicken in Nashville. Why? The fans kept it real. Those fans out there, they were booing the U.S. Men's National Team. Yes, sir. They booed those guys off of that field out there. And I was loving it. I was so disgusted, so upset. I just couldn't believe it, man. And these guys were scoring so easy on us. You know what I saw, Maddie? Just a total lack of effort. These guys, I mean, they weren't even trying. They were playing so half-hearted and half ASS'd out there. I could not take it. That's why I was just... go ahead, man. I don't want to say something that I'm going to say right now.
I'll come in and save the day for you, Mike.
Go ahead, man.
Because right now, it seems that Team USA doesn't have a Captain America coming to save them. And I say that facetiously because the one player that's been getting a lot of ire is Christian Pulisic. And look, fair, foul. He wasn't there. There was a couple other guys. I want to name them because they're in on this as well.
Yes.
These guys, they deserve to be called out because they either voluntarily chose not to be there. And some of them, I'm not going to mention the ones that are injured because there are a couple of them that are U.S. men's national team regulars that are injured right now. So they're not going to get the ire. But the ones that aren't injured are Christian Pulisic, Yunus Musah, Weston McKennie, Tim Weah, Gio Reyna. Those guys are not injured. those guys declined to go to be a part of the U.S. men's national team during this window because they need to rest up, because their clubs that they play for professionally and make a living is just so physically demanding, and they just need to take a break because next year is so important. And it is. I don't say that. I'm saying I'm to them. Oh, they make it like, oh, next year is just so important. We got to take a break. We got a vacation. We got to do this and that. We got to get right. Okay. So you're going to just take it off. You're not going to play internationally this time. All right, cool. But you know, the guys that did play, guys like Diego Luna,
yes, give it
their all. And I sent you, there is a movie that's a very, very good movie. It's historically accurate. It's called Miracle, where the U.S. was up against the Soviet Union in the 80s in the hockey team. And nobody gave them a fighting chance at all. And it took the coach having to take the reins because the guys were very spoiled and entitled and didn't want to play the coach's style of play. But history shows us that he whipped that team into shape. Yes. He got them to play for the name across the front, not the name across the back. Yes. And they stunned the world and beat the Soviet Union where nobody said that they could do it. Pocatino, I believe, can do that if he can do that. You see what I'm saying when I say that?
Really?
It's going to be tough because these guys here are the opposite of what I just mentioned. They're playing for their brand. They're playing more for the name on the back of the jersey. They care more about their vacation time and their Instagram pictures and their model girlfriends and wives. That's more what they care about. So,
Well, let me add on to what you were saying about, and pertaining to Pocatino. I'm going to go back over to him because you're right. He's the leader. We brought him in. And, you know, I was a big, and I'm still backing Pocatino, okay? I still back the guy. I think he's, you know, got to be a little more patient in this microwave nanosecond era, right? Like right now, they want to get rid of coach. I don't even, we talked about this already. I don't know what you got to do to, you know, even if he could have been winning, they might have still tried to get rid of him. But right now, Pocatino's in the hot seat, all right? I'm just going to be plain and simple. He's in the oven right now, okay? This 4-0 loss against Switzerland, you know, I get it. It was very bad. Like, it was disgustingly bad. It was embarrassingly bad, right? And he kept, the one thing I will say about him, he kept a stone face. He kept a poker face. He was over there trying to, you know, pretty much keep yourself together. You know, that's cool. But what he should have done was gotten their ASSs, right? Should have got those guys motivated. He should have been, I'm not saying you got to be yelling and screaming guys at super fans, at players sometimes. But sometimes when these guys aren't showing up and they're not playing and you're at home and you're getting embarrassed, you gotta rip into them. That's part of coaching and motivating these guys. That's what they're paying you to do. Not sit on the sideline looking cool. Not sit on the sideline with your legs crossed and trying to be all nonchalant. Dude, friendly or not, this was an unfriendly game. They dominated us, right? And, you know, like I said, this is the fourth consecutive loss for U.S. men's national team. Fourth consecutive. Now, I don't know about you guys, but losing four games in a row, that's horrible, right? That's horrible right now. And since he's been here, Matty, I think he is 5-5, which is average, right? And I call average below average because, you know, there's no reason why a bunch of these matches we should have won. You know what I'm saying? My opinion. That one we lost against, was it Panama? You remember that match?
Oh, yeah. That was
fool. That was a heartbreaker, too. Come on, man. This dude, man, come on, bro. So, Pocatino, he's on the hot seat, man. I'm not going to say he's the problem, but, dude, you need to start doing what we're paying you to do, and that's coach. like I said, not standing over there trying to be all cool or whatever. Where are your adjustments? These guys not playing. Put some other guys out there. I know you don't have all the ingredients. Some of these diva. We're going to get into what is his name?
Pulisic. Yeah.
Nah. It's Christian Pulisic. I call him Pulisic. Man, Pulisic, not Pulisic. It's Pulisic.
He's a mess.
Call the police on him. You know what I mean? Somebody ratting on him because he's out here just doing the most. We're going to get on him in a minute too because the greats are trying to pull his coat. Shout out to Landon Donovan and who else was talking about? Somebody else was trying to pretty much address him, not disrespecting him, but they were just checking him like they're supposed to. We're going to get in that in a second too. But Pochettino, who's still supporting you guys. Like I said, I'm Maddie and myself, we're big U.S. We support the men and the women and the children for U.S. soccer. We're here for it, right? But, God, we brought you in here. I need you to, get these guys motivated and at least be competitive. It's one thing losing by one goal or whatever, or you were tying, but when you're getting blown out and guys aren't showing up and scoring, I mean, it's no excuse for that.
Mike, just give the man a little credit, and I do. He said, look, the first half, that was on me. So I didn't put the players out there that I needed to put out there.
Did you see that? No, I didn't see that. I didn't want to see any press conference from there.
Okay, well, I did because, I saw little clips of here and there. And he didn't deflect. He didn't say, this and that. He took the responsibility. He said that he made the mistake because I missed the first half because, like I said, I got the days mixed up on when they were playing. Uh-huh. But I watched the second half, and they did play better in the second half. And that's one thing he said. Because he made a lot of changes. He made three or four changes at halftime. And
I went to bed. When they were doing down 4-0, I went to bed. Yeah. I said, go ahead.
Yeah, I saw the score and I was like, oh man. And I was like, let's see what they're gonna do. And they played better, but they just couldn't quite, better. No, they didn't score. It was still 4-0. Huh. That was the score. But yeah. He took it. On the nose, he took it on the chin. You know, he said that this was my decision. I put the guys out there. They weren't in a good position, this and that, da-da-da. You know, he could have thrown some people under the bus and said, oh, this guy, he's not, I made the mistake, this or that. He just said, hey, I didn't put them in the right position. We made adjustments and move it on. So that part, I give him credit for. He took the responsibility.
Okay. Salute him. Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to give him a little bit of advice. And we talked about this before, and I'm going to say it on the episode. Now's the time where he's going to start playing 3 and 4D chess. And he needs to decide who's the real true leaders of the team. And myself, you, others have said Diego Luna is shown not only with his play, but also with his attitude, how he carries himself on and off the field. He's the leader. Mm-hmm. Let's just call it what it is. He's the leader. Mm-hmm. Give him the captain's armband. Let him try to lead the team. And we were making we're kind of going back and forth. And just because you're the captain doesn't mean you're necessarily always the quote best player on the team. We need to kind of squash that.
Yes,
we named off a couple of different baseball players. And one of them that I said come to mind was Jason Veritek. Jason Veritek was never the best Boston Red Sox. Never. I ain't going to say never. Mm-hmm. But there was times when, he was their captain, but he wasn't the best player. But he was the guy that he carried himself in a way on and off the field. And they say, hey, he's our captain. He's our guy. He's the catcher. Giving him the armband. Derek Jeter is another one of those guys. Derek Jeter played with a lot of very talented players on the Yankees. I'm going to say he wasn't always the best player. There was times when he was and helped them win and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But
my God,
right. Just because you're the captain doesn't mean you're always the best. And you've made a comment. You've said Christian Pulisic is very talented and this and that. Maybe. But he has no heart. I'm going to call him out for saying that right now. Mm. If you go out and now you're doing this media blitz and doing all these interviews, saying this and that, saying, oh, but I wanted to be there. Oh, but I wanted to do the friendlies and that's all and this and that. It's like, come on, dude. You expect to get special privileges, special kid gloves, and all of this stuff? No wonder Pochettino said, man, I'm not doing that. Wow. I want one team. I want one team. I don't want, oh, this is for this game, I'm going to do this. And, oh, for that game, I'm going to do that. Because once you do it once, you set the precedent, you're going to do it more than that. You can't do that. You're dealing with, you know, ever how many players is on the entire roster. And it's just like, if you start making special circumstances for one, you're going to have to start making special circumstances for everybody. And Pochettino held it down. He did what he was supposed to do. But he's got a problem because there's too many players on the men's national team right now that do not feel threatened. And what I mean by that, I don't mean like physically or emotionally or any of that. I'm talking about their job, their role on the team. They don't feel that somebody behind them can come and take that position. There's no competition. The Tim Howard, that's the I think the one you were referencing in the interviews and stuff like that. He's really going at these guys. And Pulisic might be getting the majority of the flack right now. But they're really going at all these guys that I mentioned. Mm-hmm. If you just say, I don't want to play, not this time around, but next summer, oh yeah, when it's big, when it's important, I'll be there then. It's just like you showing me you don't have heart. Why would I want right. if you're not here now putting in the work, that's just like I played sports, you played sports, I played football, and I can remember we had for at the high school that I played at, right? We had what we called over the summer. When it's hot, I mean, we'd go out there when it was hot. And I remember those days because they were specifically called, get this, Mike, commitment days.
Commitment days. Wow.
If anybody's listening, wow. we went to the same school, we played football, you know what I'm talking right. about.
Commitment days, right? Okay.
And those days is what built the character of the squad, built the character of the team, because those guys, myself included, they was out there in the July and in the August heat of, you know, from 5 to 6, 7 o'clock, you know, hot, I wanted to say hottest part of the day, doing those, you know, that weightlifting, going outside, doing them runs. That was, you're showing your commitment level. These guys on this team are wanting to skip out on that and just go straight to playing on Friday nights. Go straight to playing Saturday, you know, at the, going back to my football, my American football reference, playing, you know, in between the hedges. Just don't do any practices. Don't do any lifting. Don't do any of the hard work. Right. And just going and going to the bright lights. It don't work like that. It doesn't work like that in any sport. So get your heads out of your rear ends and get it together. This is how you build a camaraderie. And this is what we need. And this is why we're getting beat 4-0.
Yeah, totally agree. Very passionate assessment right there, Maddie. Savage moment right there. I couldn't have said it any better. I was just looking through here. Let me say this real quick, because we got to cook on and you're cooking on them, but we got to go ahead and stir fry this kid, man. Christian, please. So let me find a statement with Donovan. Let me see what Landon Donovan, what he said. Okay, so June 8th. Okay, so pretty much, I guess this is Landon Donovan. He's pretty much, Cristiano Ronaldo, he's using him kind of like an example, and he's like, okay, this is what is directed at, this is what Christian Pulisic is upset about. This is what Donovan said, guys. He said, this is what it means to represent your country. This is what it means. And if you don't want to take this as a professional soccer player, as someone who gets the opportunity to wear that jersey and take it seriously and responsibly, then don't come in. this is what it means. He's 40 years old. He's played a long ASS season. He's tired. He's out there grinding. Hurt himself in the process. And I can't help but think about some of our guys on vacation, not wanting to play in the Gold Cup. It's pissing me off.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, this ain't shots fired. This is a bazooka fired, okay? Straight at Christian and these other guys. And and Christian, we're not. Look, guy, we love you. We want you to be part of Team USA. But when they call you Captain America because you're the most talented, you're supposed to be the star, the face of our team, right, of Team USA, and you are out here posting pics, Instagram pics with your chick, and you got a horse, and, you know, come on, dude. Now you're trolling. Now you're disrespecting. Now it's a mockery. And then you're not. Then you're going to get into your feelings because one of the OGs, I mean, the MVP trophy of the league is named after who? Landon Donovan, right. MLS. Come on, guys. And this is the respect you have for him, lack of respect you have for him, not listening to him. He's trying to give you some good advice, right? He's telling you the plea for the love, you know what I mean, of your country, of, you know, of the sport. Just like Maddie said, play for the name on the front of your jersey, not what's on the back of your jersey. But you're up here making all these excuses. You're on this panel. Maddie, I wish we could play that. You sent me that link with those guys on there, the panel. And they were looking at him, giving him the side eye, right? Because they know it was BS. And he's stuttering. Dude, just shut up, dude. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to play, but man, please.
He's making it worse. He's made the whole situation worse. Because this is, look, if you truly need a break, then that means you need a break. I know for me, there's times whenever I need to just get away. Or I feel that I need to get away.
Right.
Dude, do you think I'm going to be out, you know, going out and doing different things? Like, I may not be working my 9-to-5 job, but if I say I need a break, that means that I need a break. I'm going to get away. I'm going to do this, you know, including social media, including these interviews and all this other stuff. So if you need a break, and I know he's talking mainly physically, but at the same time, it all plays this role. You know, mind, body, spirit, the whole 9 yards. So go take a break. Go get away. Take your little vacation and just get away. Him doing these interviews and trying to rationalize it and saying like, oh yeah, this and that, he made it worse. And that's where I get frustrated, because if you don't want to do it, okay, fine. You don't want to do it. You need to rest. You got this and that. All right. Just go do it. Don't post any pics after saying, oh, this is just what the doctor ordered, after the team loses in the way that they do, you know. And even if they had won, if you right. do it, it just seems like you're clowning the team. Like, oh yeah, I'm not there. Mm-hmm. I'm doing this. It's a bad look. He's gone down. The fan base as a whole is just like so done with him. I mean, I'm gonna be real with you and the fans right now.
You know,
his only saving grace is coming back if Pochettino picks him, which is at this moment in time. I mean, it would be, I mean, he'd have to have like a ridiculous sort of season in Serie A where he's just blowing the doors off the whole league. But right. I digress. His only saving grace is if he goes and he takes his team further than they've ever been. And when I say takes them, not like put it all on him, I'm saying helps to lead, not just give him the ball, let him do. Like, no. Play a team game, a team sport, and do it in the right way, the right attitude, and help elevate the team to heights that even these guys, the OGs that are criticizing him, haven't been achieved. I'm talking about
constructively
mm-hmm. criticizing him. Correct.
They're not just
if he can bring the team to a quarterfinal, a semifinal, heck, even winning it all, which I'm gonna be honest, is very, very slim chances is happening. But if he can do that, then all of the criticism will go away, and we'll probably forget about this a year from now. But other than that, this is gonna stick with him. This is definitely going to stick with him, because last year this time when we were playing in the Copa America, and he's going after the referee for not calling it straight and everything else. Oh, the fan base was behind him. We were like, yeah, this guy, he's passionate. He wants to, you know, what's best for the team and everything else. We're all behind him.
Right.
Fast forward a year, total 180. And he did it to himself.
He definitely did. And, yeah, man, it's very passionate. Yeah, guys, we love soccer. We're super fans. We love all sports, right? We love American sports, international sports. But when it comes to Team USA, you know, that hit different for us, guys. It hits different for us. And you are supposed to represent, and just like Landon said, get out there and play no matter what for your guys. And as Maddie, like you said, Maddie, and if not, if you need a break and all this and that, dude, just stay out of the way. Just go somewhere, chill out, stay out of the media. Don't, you know what I mean? Don't be posting pics and all this and that. And now you're going this media run, making excuses. Or you, like Maddie said, you're just making it look worse. It's like piling on. I mean, I feel like we're piling on at this point now, but it needs to be, it needs to be said though. You know what I mean? We had to get it off our chest because that's how passionate we are, because that's how much love we have for the game, right? And unfortunately, guys, some of these players, they get at a certain level, and I get it. They're making money. They're celebrities. And, you know, they start getting that diva, getting into that diva-ish. And, you know, I'm totally against that, you know?
Man. All right, Mike, we got to wrap this up. We got way more on this episode than I might have to do a lot of editing, but yeah, let's go ahead and wrap it up. Let's call it out. Yeah, let's wrap this episode up with the bow.
That's you guys. It's been real. All right, you guys. Until next time, have fun, be safe, and have a super fantastic week. Peace.
All right, you knuckleheads. Next time, later.
For joining us and showing your support. Become a part of our community by subscribing to our SoccerCast. Hit us up and send your comments to info@superfansusa.com. Peace.